You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hader ready again. Here it is. Swinging fly ball in the right center. Broxton is there. And they're the champions.
Come see what's brewing. Come see what the good times are.
Come see what the Brewers are doing. Come on and cheer a superstar.
And that one's deep. Right center. Christian Yelich has tied it.
Lockdown Podcast Network. I'm your host, Ben Larson. Find me on Twitter at Cheesehead Talks with an S is my personal Twitter handle, and also at Lockdown Brewers, the show podcast handle. Facebook.com/Lockdown Brewers as well. And so you can check us out on the social media types each and every time. And we don't, here at Lockdown Brewers, our policy is not to lie. No false advertising here, so we don't have to worry about misleading or fake news. Just trying to be relevant with the times. Anyway, today's show, Matt Pauly will join us from WTMJ, both the pre- and post-game shows for the Brewers. He talks to fans all season long on the flagship station for Brewers baseball, and so gets all the opinions. And good conversation with Matt. Talk to him about the arbitration aspect of what the Brewers are doing here. So many players eligible for arbitration. Will there be surprises? Will there be players that don't get tendered? Will there be players that get tendered but don't actually end up with the Brewers this year? You know, what is their strategy going to be? Do they go after Yasmani Grandal and try and re-sign him to a big contract? Do they also try to get a middle-of-the-road free agent? What's their payroll going to be? I think that's a really fascinating question, you know, because I think, you know, I would include myself in this category. I think the fans of Milwaukee understand that they're not going to have a $200 million payroll. Any realistic fan does, right? You understand what the deal is. The Brewers TV deal, at least as of a couple years ago, was the lowest in Major League Baseball. Even though you'd think it should be a little higher, right, than maybe Tampa Bay or something, or some of those other teams, because they have ratings. They have eyeballs on the Brewers. People watch the Brewers, you know, at a pretty good clip. In the spring and summertime, and for good reason. There's a lot of entertainment to watch as far as the Brewers are concerned, but I digress. Point is, it didn't give the club a lot of money, whereas you know the story, right? The Cubs, the Dodgers, the Yankees, the Red Sox, and even, you know, the Cardinals or some of those other mid-range teams, and Cardinals are borderline large market the way that they produce revenue in St. Louis. But the point is, again, that they can generate a lot more money and hence have a higher payroll. As warranted. It's not the end-all and be-all, but it's pretty, you know, it's pretty needed to get your payroll probably up 140, 150 to win a World Series. The Brewers were at 120 in 2019, you know, with a team that made the playoffs. And of course, the year before, going back, they were less. So they've stretched it a little bit, but how far do you stretch it now? Is this the year? When we're talking about a window here with Christian Yelich having 3 years left, you know, with the Brewers, are you in a position to take 3 straight years of a run at this thing and try and win a championship in one of those years? I mean, I would argue that you are. I would argue that that's what should be expected, that you're close enough where if you re-sign enough guys and you put a team on the field that can make a run to make the playoffs, anything can happen each and every year. And if you continue this playoff streak and extend it, one of these years you might make a deeper run than even 2 years ago, I guess now, or last year, whatever you would call it, 2018, when they went to Game 7 of the NLCS. So that payroll number, again, you got to spend it wisely. You have to spend it wisely. But can you add to it? You know, what if you sign Yasmani Grandal, you sign the arbitration players, or a lot of them, does it get to 140? Can it get to 140? That's a tough one. Seems like a lot, but maybe it can. I just don't know. That'll be a fascinating thing to watch and wait and see through the offseason. So anyway, we'll talk with Matt Pauly about those issues and more coming up. So looking forward to that. Friday on the show, we'll have your mailbag. What about your questions? What about the things you want to know? Submit them at Lockdown Brewers or at Cheesehead Talks. Tell me what you're thinking about this week, you know, as the World Series is going on in the offseason for the Brewers. What do you want to know? What do you want to talk about? What are you thinking about? And we'll answer that in the Friday mailbag. We'll talk about it. Again, at Lockdown Brewers or at Cheesehead Talks. Matt Pauly on the way next. Your Lockdown Brewers. Indochina is the world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand. Start your style upgrade now with $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when entering Locked On at checkout. Peloton is offering a limited-time offer. Get $100 off accessories when you purchase the Peloton bike and get started a great cardio workout at home. Go to onepeloton.com and use promo code LOCKED to get started. If you subscribe to a lot of Brewers podcasts, and I suggest you do because there's a lot of good ones out there, even this one, you will know that on Sunday, or on Monday, I guess I should say, I was on Matt Pauly's podcast for the Brewers. Matt Pauly is the pregame and postgame host on WTMJ Radio and talks to Brewer fans a lot all season long and is close to the team, obviously, and lives and breathes Brewers all the way through the season. And he joins us now because I kind of, you know, forced him to do it. I did his podcast. He's got to do mine. Although, I think, Matt, I owe you one now because you did one during the season. So, if we're keeping score, it's 2-1 me on yours.
We'll make it work.
Anyway.
We'll make it work.
So, Matt Pauly's with us. And I wanted to start with this, Matt. We talked a little bit on your show about the Brewers' payroll. And according to Baseball Reference, I was looking at it as $120 million in 2019. And I'm wondering, I don't know if I'm dwelling on this too much or not, but I'm wondering, what do you think the number is going to be? What do you think the number Mark Adonasio can push that to? Will it be the same? Will it be more in 2020? What do you think?
I think it has to be more. I think you just look at, I mean, it is a ton of arbitration-eligible guys. And I think most of them are going to be tendered contracts. Now, just because they're tendered contracts and just because they're with the team in spring training does not necessarily guarantee they'll be with the club all season long where their entire salary will be on the payroll. But I don't see a way. You've got all those arbitration eligible guys and you have holes at catcher and at third base where you got a ton of production from those spots. So whether you're bringing back the current guys in Grandal and Moustakas or you're going in another direction, it's not going to be cheap. So I just don't know how the numbers would work that they don't, that they're basically not forced to expand payroll going into next year.
And so then the magic number is, or the magic question, I guess, is what is the number? I mean, with the arbitration eligible players, and you talk about 16 of them, just like you mentioned, and the fact that it has to increase, do you think they can stretch all the way to 140? Is that way too much? Is it 10 million more? I mean, I know it's just a guessing game here, but what do you think?
140 seems like a lot, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah.
And that's my initial reaction. Again, I don't have all the numbers in front of me right now in terms of, you know, baseball trade rumors or MLB trade rumors does the arbitration projections, and they're really good at it. And those came out like 3 weeks ago. And there's a lot of guys who are going to get big raises. I mean, Josh Hader is probably going to get a raise of $4 million by himself. So, you know, you can sit there and say, well, you know, can they push it 10 million? It seems like 10 million is almost like the minimum based off what they need to do. Now, they're really good at finding guys at good value and saying, you know what, we've got an arbitration eligible guy who we really like, but we feel like we can get the exact same production from somebody who's going to come in on a veterans minimum type deal. So maybe you move on from those folks. But yeah, that's something I think for fans to kind of keep in the back of their mind when watching what's going on. There's those signings of, you know, veteran guys signing minor league deals with invites to spring training. Look and see what they replicate in terms of some of those arbitration eligible guys where, okay, maybe this person's being brought in with the idea that they can do, player X can do what player Y can do, but player X is cheaper than player Y, so you're going to move on at the end of spring training.
Yeah, we could see some moves like that. I mean, to that point, I mean, you talk about 16 arbitration eligible players. I'm sure you've seen the list. I've run down the list myself, and we will continue to watch that as the offseason goes along, but do you feel, if you had to pick a couple players as we kind of play this guessing game, I mean, one, do you think there'll be some surprises here that a player you thought would be sure to be offered a tender would not be? Or do you think they all get tendered, offers and that which makes them, you know, Brewers here in 2020? Or do you think we'll see some surprises?
I think most of them are going to be back. Now, there are some interesting decisions they have to make. They have to make a decision on Travis Shaw and who do they think Travis Shaw actually is. They have to make a decision on Jimmy Nelson. I think they even have to make a decision on Orlando Arcia, because they weren't happy with the production that they got from Arcia, but you look at his projection and you go, how in the world do you not bring that back? Yeah, Chase Anderson isn't technically an arbitration guy because they've got that contract option on him, and the contract option is valued at a lot less than what he would probably get if he did go to arbitration. They bought out one of his arbitration years by giving that contract option, but I'm not sure, you know, that's a question as well. So yeah, there are guys. I mean, there are the clear guys that they are absolutely going to bring back. You know, a Corey Knebel, I think a Zach Davies is back. A Josh Hader clearly is going to be back. I would guess that Junior Guerra is probably one of those guys, just based off what they need out of the bullpen. Manny Pena isn't going to get that much of a raise. Ben Gamel's probably in that group. But yeah, could one of those guys I just mentioned surprisingly not be tendered? I think the more possible thing, again, it kind of goes back to what I said before, I think there's going to be a lot of guys who are tendered, but I also don't think that there's going to be a guarantee that you're going to be on the team just because you're tendered a contract.
Yeah, that's true. We could see some stuff play out in that fashion. Talking with Matt Pauley from WTMJ Radio, Brewers pre- and post-game host. Also, Extra Innings Podcast, if you haven't subscribed, it's available on all the podcast platforms, so check it out. Extra Innings for the Brewers. So, you know, you talk about some of these guys, again, who are maybe on the higher side of the options the club could pick up. We talked about Chase Anderson at $8.5 million, and you know, there's a good chance the Brewers exercise that option. Eric Thames, I thought, kind of became a no-brainer at $7.5 million for the Brewers to pick up his option. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I would. That would be the biggest surprise, I think, if they didn't bring him back. That's about as much value as you are going to get from anybody not named like a, you know, one of these first-time arbitration-eligible guys, or the guys who are still, you know, under the first years of Major League Baseball club control. In terms of, you know, veteran-type guys, I don't think you're going to get much better value. If you take the production from this past season and apply it to next season's payroll number, that's about as good of a value of anybody that may or may not be back going into next year.
Were your did fans, you know, calling in after the games throughout the season, seemed like, you know, earlier in the season, maybe well into the midway and even second half of the season, I picked up a lot of fan reaction thinking that Thames was just terrible at first base, and all along his numbers were not terrible at all. Did you experience the same thing, and did it change as the season went along in your experience, the fan reaction to Thames?
Yeah, it changed a little. There's a group of people out there that do not like Eric Thames.
Yeah.
And this is going to sound weird and wacky and funny, but I'm telling you the truth when I say this, because I still hear it from people. You remember a couple years ago when he hit that walk off and like he got the jersey destroyed and like his nipple was hanging out? You remember all that?
I was at that game. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. There are people who were offended by that and have never like let that go just because they didn't think it was appropriate. I guess the level of undress, for lack of a better term. I don't know. There are some people out there who I think will never get on the Eric Thames train because of that single incident, which is ridiculous as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
And then there's other people who don't like him for other reasons. I think sometimes you look, he's not a very good defensive outfielder, so people see him out in the outfield sometimes, and he's going to get played there, and they make, you know, there's thoughts there. He's not overly tall. When you've got first base, you want your first baseman to be tall. So there's going to be people who don't like him for that reason. But all that being said, when the season got started, I can't tell you how many people said, Eric Thames isn't going to make this team. And then as the season went along, and maybe you always know they go into these lulls, and there's these points where you're like, okay, we're getting towards the period where they're going to start making some moves. There's always a time or two every year where like four or five moves get made within a couple days, guys coming up, guys going down, guys getting DFA'd. And a couple times we're coming up on one of those periods where you just know it's going to happen. And people are saying, Eric Thames is going to be that guy.
Yeah.
And no, I think by the end of the year, the rational fans out there, realize the kind of production that the Brewers are getting from Eric Thames. So that's a very long answer to a very short question.
I feel like it's totally worth it because it just, to me, I was a little flabbergasted. And so, you know, to the point where early in the season, without looking at the numbers, I was going along with the narrative. And then I don't know, May, June rolled around. And I thought, wait a minute, this guy, you know, his OPS is pretty good. He's okay defensively. You're right. He's, you know, you can overthrow him at first. Okay. So you could overthrow Prince Fielder too, right? I mean, I don't know. But it's really interesting. And I feel like, you know, he's their starting first baseman. Now, the question is about left-handed, you know, hitting against, of course, when they face lefties for Thames. Do they have another guy at first? I mean, what, you know, late in the season, they kind of did a hodgepodge, obviously, Yasmani Grandal on certain days and Austin on some days when they called him up in September. But what do you think their backup plan is against either left-handed pitchers or just to back up Thames at first base here in 2020?
Yeah, I think that has a lot to do with whether or not they bring back Yasmani Grandal. If Grandal is back, then there's no reason not to kind of platoon them at first base with the righties and the lefties, because it's a way to give Grandal a day off from behind the plate, especially if it's Manny Pena again, because Pena's, I mean, it's just, that worked out so perfectly because Pena hits lefties so well, and you could give Grandal a day off without giving Grandal a day off. I still, when you look at that outfield, and I would think that they go into spring training with the idea that maybe you have more of an option to use Ryan Braun there as well. And I know that's a touchy subject at times, but they went into the season a couple years ago, and then things happened, and he wasn't really needed over there. I think there's a chance that maybe a Ryan Braun at first base, not a lot, but just occasionally, could make a little bit of sense.
Yeah, I could see that happening. Okay, I'll let you go on this one, Matt. And again, we're talking with Matt Pauly, Brewers pre- and post-game show host on WTMJ Radio in Milwaukee. With all the stuff going on, arbitration, you know, maybe Yasmani Grandal, Mike Moustakas, and those decisions, not a lot has been talked about what the Brewers might do outside to get free agents that, you know, of any significance that weren't on the team, you know, last year. I feel like the target might be a mid-range starting pitcher to try and solidify that rotation of veteran starting pitcher. Of course, that's only been talked about ad nauseum the last two off seasons, and they really never made a big move in that department. What do you think? Do you think this team goes outside in free agency with any type of significance this offseason?
I think that goes back to the very first question you asked me about payroll and how much they expand payroll, because we've already established that they're going to have to expand payroll just based off the players who are already on the roster. Now, as they have talked, as David Stearns and Mark Attanasio have gotten together and kind of put together the financial game plan going into next season, if that number is bigger than we expect it to be, or you know, the common thought would be that it would be, then yeah, I think they go get maybe a mid-level starting pitcher. I do think no matter what, they have more veteran starting pitchers in spring next year, where they don't have the exact same situation as this last year. But the question is, are those veteran starting pitchers guys who are coming in on minor league deals who are just there to compete for jobs, or are you signing established veteran starters? Even if they're not a one or two, these are guys who are going to be in starting rotations this upcoming season. You know, kind of I know we can now look back on it and you kind of view it differently, but the way we viewed the Elise Chassin signing from a couple years ago, nobody really expected him to do what he did 2 years ago, and nobody really expected him to fall off the way he did this past season. But is there a Yoelis Chassin signing the way it was viewed when it actually happened? That's kind of the level of guy that I think would be what they, you know, that's the ceiling. And I have to think there is going to be at least one guy like that they bring in. But again, it requires probably expanding payroll.
Yeah, tons of moving parts, and I think that's the biggest one. How high does the payroll go? It'll be fascinating to see what the Brewers do, you know, in this particular offseason here. As always, Matt, great to have you on. Appreciate it, and hopefully we'll catch up again soon.
You bet, Ben, anytime.
And again, Matt Pauly does a weekly podcast, so you can still hear him all the time. It's Extra Innings, Brewers Extra Innings, if you go on any major podcast platform and check it out there. Hosted by WTMJ Radio, or at least that's in the logo, but it's on every podcast platform. and you can check out his work there. I should mention as well his Twitter handle. It is at Matt Pauley on air, at Matt Pauley on air, MATTPAULEY on air. And you can check out his Twitter feed there, and a good source for Brewers news and comment and opinion. And again, great thanks to him for being on the show today. Again, Friday is the mailbag section of the show, so get your questions in at Locked On Brewers or at Cheesehead Talks. And tell me what you want to talk about. Tell me what you want to hear about as far as the Brewers are concerned. And as we look to the long postseason now, it's really going to get started here next week. There's a lot of deadlines that happen as far as needing to tender players and declare certain things between now and December, 40-man rosters, all of the above. And then the frenzy gets going through the offseason, or does it? You know, is it going to be another offseason where the dominoes don't fall until, you know, right up to spring training? We'll see. So it'll be interesting from that standpoint as well, just to see what's going on in Major League Baseball in this particular offseason. So we will be here to discuss it as always, and we'll talk more here and get you your Brewers fix this week here on Locked On Brewers. Again, find me on Twitter at Cheesehead Talks, at Locked On Brewers, Facebook.com/Locked On Brewers. Please rate and review the podcast. And again, thanks for listening. Remember, you can subscribe to the show on the new Himalaya Podcast app, as well as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Also Stitcher, and when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Brewers. I am Ben Larson. I'll talk to you soon when we deliver your daily Brewers fix right here on Locked On Brewers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.